This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy, Johnny G, standing 6'2", 300 and something pounds, from the south shore of Nassau County, Long Island. It's John Gabris. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson Maine from A Star Is Born. Abortion is healthcare. Okay, at least you're coming with some interesting thoughts. Also joining me in the High My Studios, my newly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur not currently in here. Arthur feasting on his late breakfast. Because he wasn't hungry this morning. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, you know him, you love him, we got Zach Poitras and Matt Kleinman.
Oh, yes. Hello. Yes. In the studio.
Here we are, dude. Here we are.
Yes, bro. In the fucking studs, man. We got the fucking hosts of High Science, no. Baby.
Oh, no. Gabris. You're gone.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, no. Gosh. Yeah, you're gone. Obliterated.
Immediately upon introducing you guys, I disappear.
Oh, that was a cool, minute 30 seconds, though. Hell yeah.
Great intro, man. Went off the rails, but great intro.
Well, guys, it's been great. People can check out your show on Discovery Plus. It's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure catching up with you guys. I'm so stoked you guys are here, and I can't believe I haven't watched your show because algorithmically, it's like created for me.
Yes, dude, the show is for you. The show High Science is for you. It's basically we just tried to come up with the most mind-blowing shit. Like, find the most mind-blowing science that was currently available and then present it to people in, like, a very easy-to-digest and cool-looking way.
That's fucking... I used to host a podcast called The Layman, which was me talking to scientists and trying to bring that information to the listeners in a really dumbed-down, meathead, mouth-breathing way. So it's...
Yeah, and we love that show. So we were like, how can we make Gabris' show, like, a Gabris' TV show? Like, and ice him out.
Yeah, I know. That's the main thing I was bringing you guys on here for, was a controversial. I'm demanding points on the back end of a Discovery Plus show.
That's good. That's close. No, this is like, that's exactly what, I mean, we don't pretend to be smart people. We only pretend to be smart enough to have surrounded ourselves with smart people, which is the scientists who actually tell us real things and the researchers we have who actually share like incredible info with us. And then we're like, whoa, what? And that's, and if it made us do that enough, then we're like, let's put that in the show. And then,
you guys are your own audience in a weird way. Like you're making the show for yourselves, which I think gets you in a rich place and in the correct place. If you're making something for yourself to watch. Now, this is a classic stoner conversation, is like, did you know that this actually happens on the molecular level, on the environmental level? Or did you know this bug actually cuts its own head off right after it comes? Like, all that shit is always so fucking rich and real. And to make it into a show is a fucking genius idea. Are you guys science heads before this? I know, Zach, I know to a lesser degree, but Kleinman, I know from following you for years that you're always doing some weird forefront of tech comedy kind of thing. You're like, God knows what kind of weird fucking shit you're into these days.
Yeah, no, I'm just programming robots I can fuck, man. Just trying to get them so that they can like have sex like a real person, you know?
Yeah. Hopefully that's like a season two thing we kind of get going, you know? Is like Kleinman actually gets to fuck the robots that he's been working so hard to develop.
And it's not even part of the show at all. It's just like rap gift for the crew. It's like, all these fuck,
here exactly, it is, everyone. Man. I made it work.
I finally finished.
It's just hopefully whatever bump you get when you make another season just pays for Matt to get some fuck robot time.
Gay, straight, we'll all don't know. Worry. The robot has a whole new orifice you've never seen before. Yeah. It's for everybody.
Oh, hell yeah. That was my complaint, is not enough orifices on the human body.
We both love science. Like, one reason Matt and I knew we'd be buds is like, and also wanted to start working on things like this, is we are always were like taking the subway home in New York City, and we'd just be like, dude, did you hear about like octopuses, man? Like, holy shit, dude. They're like, this one got like octopus, and just talking about octopus videos and different things about octopi and stuff like that. And then like, just like letting our brains just talk about whales and other things, like just whatever thing we had just learned, I knew I could talk to Matt about it and he wouldn't like roll his eyes and be like, I don't give a shit.
Right.
And he knew vice versa. Yeah, so it was always like,
yeah, because sometimes you talk to people, I mean, like, it's not, everyone loves science, but also sometimes you got to like catch people up, like, well, there's this thing about octopuses, which is very smart, but then there's this thing. But Zach would always like, oh yeah, because of that thing. Like, I feel like we both already were like caught up on all of the like science, I guess, as if like science is a show and we've already binged it all.
Yeah. No, dude, we're already on the same page that like they got nerves throughout their brain is a body. Right. We know that. So now it's like, take it to the next level.
Right.
Like,
well, there is that, like, how brushed up are you on Succession? Cause I want to talk about the most recent episode. And then it's like, how aware are you of like what they're doing with cloning? Cause they just made it like, you're like, well, I'm familiar with Dolly and the ear on the mouse. It's like, all right, great. We got you. Well, like, let me catch. So I love finding, I have a friend like that who's like a crazy, environmental science is all we talk about. Is like, we're buds, we played rugby together, I'm friends with, you know, I spend time with him and his family and his kids, but our texting is exclusively about marine biology and environmental, and like any, yeah. And so we have like this backlog of like, remember that thing about the plastic island? Well, that's actually not as important as lowering the overall temperature of the ocean. Like, all this shit is like all we're talking about. But if I cold texted a dozen of my other friends my most recent text to this guy, they would be like, all right, what the fuck is this about? Microplastics in icebergs? Like, all right, you're fair.
No, yeah, you need a common knowledge of like ants, of like different kind of species of ants to jump in with Zach and I, our tester.
Yeah, I recently asked myself the question. I was like, are there any plants that create their own heat? I was like, are there any like hot-blooded plants? And I like Googled it and I found plants that do actually create their own heat to melt the snow around them so that they can be seen by birds and bees and stuff to pollinate. And it's like, that's fucking crazy. And then I immediately just texted Matt. I was like, so dude, yes, plants make heat. Yes, I did ask myself that question. I know it's coming out of nowhere, but it was like, and then Matt was like, yes, that's the kind of question I'm looking for too. Like,
that's fucking, well, here's a perfect high stoner, high science. The other night, super stoned, thinking about fish that live at the bottom of the sea. I always, when I get high, can't help but think about, someone one time said the ocean is unexplored as outer space, like, yes. And that blew my fucking mind, and I can't get over it. And then the other day, super high, can't stop thinking, can plants grow off the bioluminescence of like the glow in the dark fish? Can they get photosynthesis from like a lantern fish's light? And that got me I didn't even Google it. It just triggered that I didn't even remember I thought of this until Zach brought up the fucking yours. And I was like, oh, I recently was like pondering something about animals. And now I'm like, I never looked that up. And like, that's to me the level of science understanding and appreciation I have of like, hey, here's a huge idea. And someone's like, yeah, there's been like a dozen Netflix series about that. Or like, yeah, that's like fifth grade science, dude. And you're like, oh, all right. Yeah. Okay.
Right. No.
But what if like cool rocks question, right? were like pressed down and compressed over years and it like changed them? And people are like, that's earth science. That's literally ninth grade regions, man.
You're talking about diamonds, John. And yeah. People know about
that.
Yeah, this.
Man. They're sick, man. They got blood in them, bro.
Man, diamonds. Diamonds are rocks, man? Are you kidding me? Jesus Christ. Why are they worth so much?
I was not
rocks
ready for
fucking
this.
Fucking everywhere.
Dude, I should have got my wife a fucking rock on a ring, bro.
Yeah, they can't tell the difference.
Yeah, just tell her there's a diamond in there and it's cooler to not know, okay? To not see it. It's funny, like, I just immediately, as you were talking about, are there plants who get photosynthesis from the bioluminescence from those creatures? I was like, I feel like they wouldn't, because then I feel like we would see some sort of type of kelp that follows them around or something like that.
Hell yeah.
And it's like, the fish are just fucking annoyed as hell. Like, God, it's goddamn kelp. Whenever I turn on my light, they're just like, oh.
Yeah, like just blink, 100 little like, you know, like the kelp's like, he's moving, he's on the move. Just a floating like front lawn that follows lanternfish and like glow in the dark fish around.
The lanternfish are like, don't turn your lantern on unless you really know you're going to eat something, man, because like you are about to just be freaking crowded by kelp. And he's annoying as hell.
That would be crazy if you just turn on a light and then like plants like all just suck towards you.
Doesn't it feel weird? Like it feels crazy that there aren't a bunch of science shows for adults anymore. Like,
well, dude, that
kids
was
even.
Genuinely, that was our pitch for this was like, let's, I mean, the high part of it, like the concept of our show, just to like get it out, is like we are two stupid lab assistants who find a talking robotic bong in the back of our lab. And when we want to learn about something, we smoke it out of the bong. So like if we want to learn about like the moon or Neanderthals or trees, we take a little nug, labeled that, we put it in the robotic talking bong, and then we smoke it, and then we hallucinate like a whole journey of learning about that thing, and we're guided, like our shaman is the robotic talking bong, who's voiced by Paul Bettany. And
hell yeah.
He takes us around to like witness the birth of the moon or to like go under the soil to see how trees communicate with each other or, you know, like crazy shit like that. And then we also like meet real scientists. But the whole pitch was like, this is just this dumb concept of us smoking what we want to learn about. But that's to like kind of indicate this is a science show for adults. Like there's plenty of, you know, Magic School Bus is wonderful, but it's for kids. Yeah, and like Planet Earth, like obviously rocks and getting high to Planet Earth is the best. But that's kind of like for all ages and for like the whole family. But we like wanted one that was like, no, this is for adults or for like kids who think they're being naughty by watching the show that they're not supposed to. But it was so that we could like make jokes and like cuss and stuff and get into like kind of deeper shit for adults. So that really was the concept for the show.
Because you're right. There's no shows. There's no science shows for adults that aren't just the straight documentary. Like, here's the footage.
Yeah, or like Nova, which is great, but it's like for adults because it's like a little more boring.
Right. It's a little impenetrable.
Yeah.
That's like, it. I love fucking Nova. Like,
we love Nova.
I'm a big fan of Nova here. Big fan of all anything. That's the problem. Like, and it's funny, we were talking before we got on, like, the parallels between your guys' projects and mine and Pally's project. But the reason we were like, we love travel shows. I watch bad ones.
Yes.
And I feel that way about science shows. I'm like,
right.
I watch the ones that aren't perfect for me because I don't care. Like, I like nature and science, by the way, seems to have been completely conflated in, like, programming language where it's like, it's pretty much science educational because we show elephants at night or whatever.
Yeah, you know? That's
like,
true.
It's like, and you're like, okay. But, like, we grew up like with like five different science educators on for kids and all this stuff. And I'm sure I don't have kids. I'm not into kids. I don't understand kids programming. I'm sure there's tons. It's just a little more like spread out, a little less siloed and stuff like that. But it's crazy that as we get older, there's not like, it makes total sense.
No, and dude, also, you know who needs science education the most is fucking adults.
Americans. Americans.
All need it.
Are the ones like, who are like losing the thread on science the most.
Scientists are oddly under attack in our country and world where like it's very bizarre where scientists almost because like people will be like, oh, I don't know if I should listen to you because, you know, this is what you spent your whole life studying. So that means you're kind of biased about it. And it's like, what? Like, No. Like, they're not biased. They're experts. Like, there's a difference. And a lot of times, and there's shitty scientists out there who make, you know, who, of course, who, like, make, you know, the world worse for the other great scientists. But there's so many young, awesome scientists and older, awesome scientists who are just, like, doing their thing. And we were so lucky to talk to and get to be on the show who were down for the show after we explained it to them and, like, played along and we talked to incredible tree scientists, like people who like now they're scientists who spend their time like scaling trees to study the soil up in tree branches. And like, it's this great science going on out there. And it's like, but we don't ever really partake or think about it or learn about it as adults in any sort of like funny way. The other thing is that all the stoners who are loving Planet Earth also love comedy. So it makes total sense for comedy and like in science to actually interact because it's the sign usually of a curious person who's like curious and likes to laugh at different shit and like also wants to like see new things and learn new things.
Agree. Funny, you mentioned this early on in there too. It's like you accidentally, because it's 2023, you like accidentally made like a political stance with your show that is about just by saying science exists, you guys accidentally are like choosing a weird political side in America. We're just in like such a distinct time in life where it's like what you're doing now started off like if your show came out in 1995, it'd be like, well, this is fun, man. After Mr. Wizard, there's like the goofy comedy one with the two stoner guys. That's fun. Now it comes out and it's like, well, these guys, who are they? Who do they work for? Who are they? It's like, no.
What's the agenda here? What are you trying to brainwash me with?
Yeah. It feels like by making this show now, you're weirdly like, it's more helpful or more. There's something more magnanimous about making it now when you're like, we just are like comedy and science and weed. And we thought it would. Yeah, and now instead you guys are like going to end up being like conscripted into the water wars on the side of the real realityists or whatever it's called, however we delineate the sides in the water wars, you guys will be recruited because like these are the science educators of our time. <It's>
like, they listen to the scientists.
Yeah. Is it true you gave the scientists a voice to be heard by multiples? What is your, what, why? What are you trying to?
They said hello to scientists.
Yeah. And as you know over here, we say au revoir, scientists.
That's right.
Wait, you speak French? You're on the science team now. No! But there, like, I remember a few years ago, 8 years ago, podcasts were popping off. Everyone loved hardcore history.
Sure.
And it was just kind of like, because it was like, history is cool. I think as you get older, being reminded that like reading isn't homework and learning about history isn't homework. Like I take Spanish classes now and my teacher gives me like homework in between each week. And I still have this like aversion to getting it done. Right. And now I'm paying for it too. So I'm like, I'm paying this motherfucker. He can't get mad at me for not doing homework. And it's like, the other logic is like, I'm paying this guy. I should take it more seriously. But the idea of like education or learning anything or anything science being like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, chew your vegetables.
That when a guy who's like, it's hardcore history in that I tell you history, but I am a grown-up who speaks to you like a grown-up and I'm a good writer. And it's like, everyone was like, have you heard hardcore history? And it's like,
guy's so badass, man. He talks like he's like kind of angry, but I'm learning so much.
Genghis Khan has come through the plains.
And I quote, it was a bad time. Right. And everyone died.
I'm not even saying it. Either way, just the fact that he pierced pop culture so hard by being like, remember history? And like, it's like, guys, yes, it's like, it's not schoolwork anymore to learn. Like, and Discovery Plus, love that you guys are, that used to be like the like science hub. Now it's like a weird entertainment hub in that like Alaskan knife forgers is now somehow like you're learning more or whatever. But it, this push to like, we're pushed away from it. Everything is for enjoyment. And then like Adam Ruins Everything is another example of like, we can teach you stuff, but it has to be from like a negative standpoint. It has to be like, this is sucks. Because the reality is that like modern audiences, like we have to find like, all right, we smoke a robotic bong played by one of the most charming voices in the world. We're two comedy guys and we are going to present. And
we promise it'll be nice.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's okay. It's not okay. School. Like, don't be triggered by this. Like,
no, but meanwhile, when you're having a conversation, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just like I'm a freak when I go to parties and we talk about shit. Like, I'm always like, love hearing new shit and people talking about, did you hear about the orcas that are like sinking the boats in Spain? And it's like, fuck yes, that's amazing. The orcas teaching each other how to sink boats.
That, dude, okay. So in the last like 3 years,
can we talk about this for the next hour, by the way? As soon as you brought it up, I was like, okay, this is perfect.
And a fact I learned a few years ago about crows being able to remember faces and then also convey that face information to the rest of the murder to be like, when this Poitras character comes by, remember, we hate him and everyone hates. Yes. Now all the crows. That blew my mind. And in a way that kind of, you know, you like learn a fact that unlocks, like, I'm like, What else do these allegedly dumb animals, what else are they capable of that isn't necessarily thought or talk, but like that is an intense ability on crows. And then the next time I felt that really hard was when I read the orca story. And again, my environmental crazy friend, shout out Paul Young, AKA Yummy. Yummy and I were texting about this the moment it happened. It's like, and if you like Avatar as much as I do, you're like, Fyacon! Oh, yeah. Like,
yes, dude. Fyacon is real, dude. Fyacon is real.
I'm weeping.
100%. Yes, man. Yeah, this, like, let the whale get revenge. Let the whale get revenge, man.
A story like that hits me on, like, fucking 12, like, A1 steak sauce. It hits you right here. It hits you right here. But it's like, oh, it's it's like animals standing up for themselves. It's like interesting yes. science because it's communication between a pod of orcas. It's
they're taking down rich yachts.
Yes,
they're taking
a side. They're accidentally political now. Like they're like everyone's like, I hate orcas. They're such libs. It's like yeah.
What are we gonna do about wealth inequality, man? And then the orcas are like, I got a fucking idea. Like.
How about you let us all out of the fucking prisons you've been keeping us in for 20 years in Tampa, and we'll fucking knock down fucking Bezos' super yacht or whatever.
We can work something out here, guys. Come on. Look what we can do.
See what we're learning here? You see this tech that we're picking up on, which is like how to take down yachts?
Yeah. And like that shit just appeals to me so much because also in the fear of environmental issues, like, when you find that nature has some things in its arsenal, like that is always fucking like a beautiful.
Well, you know what it reminded me of? One episode we almost did, but we didn't, was on sperm whales. And back, you know, like Moby Dick times and whaling and shit like that. In the first iteration of whaling, sperm whales learned and taught each other how to make like a formation that would basically throw off whalers. Like before, in like the first sort of generation of whaling vessels, the sperm whales were able to like identify them, and they made a whole formation of each other where they like, I think it's like they kind of like make a circle with each other where they were able to like deflect the harpoons and also like basically get away from the boats unscathed. They like learn
literally like
and
circle
each
the
other.
Wagons.
Yeah.
It's like they would do it's like circle the wagons. Like the safest way to be when you were in a wagon train was to make a circle to fight off all the invaders coming at you. And the sperm whales were learning the exact same thing, like same kind of thing.
And then they taught each other like up the coast and shit like that. And whalers like whaling dipped like way down until there was some new invention, maybe like a newer sail or something that we did.
Exactly. It was like the boats got just good enough that it didn't matter anymore. Yeah. It was like they were like able to.
Both sides of science. Yeah, right, every side can use science,
right,
unfortunately.
Yes. Science figured out how to fool the whales again. And then we could fucking extract all their fucking oil. And
God. Yeah. The fucking and now as I'm an old, I guess, hippie, whatever I've become, like anything like this where it's like nature fighting back in some way, like that shit appeals to me in such powerful ways. And like in like dumb movies, like I'm like weeping throughout Avatar 2 about I'm like
it was like as soon as they introduced that storyline in Avatar 2, I was like, I'm gonna love this movie. I'm gonna love this aspect of this
I know it's so fucking true. Perfect. It's like they're like, we're doing mining in episode one. We're doing whaling in the second movie. We're gonna make you like
whaling. and they were like, we don't give a shit about mining anymore because these fuckers, they have one little thing that makes all of this possible.
This orange
like,
sauce that makes you live forever.
This orange sauce that we're gonna extract from them. And it was like, oh no. And then as soon as we were seeing them all make connections with the whales, I was like, yes, dude, they're just gonna all.
When it's like. No, she was a beautiful songwriter about a whale. I was like, fuck yes, this is my movie. I'm on board. The songwriter whale died. We got to fucking. And even just the idea that they waste like 199.99999 million pounds of the whale just to get the yellow juice and just like dump it out is so like, it's so American, it's so modern
fucking,
of like
kill them all.
Oh,
man.
Get this and get rid of the rest. And like just that idea of like we kill this animal for 0.01% of its mass and the rest of it is just
the rest like, of it is disrespected.
Yeah, like shark fin soup or whatever. And right, it's just like, yeah, like just calling that shit out. The fucking And we need, it feels like we need more science education for a lot of reasons, right? We're talking about this, like science communication, even more, even as much as education, but people, we, everyone needs to learn, but also at the same time, like people need to be like a little inspired. I think
we just need shit to talk about that isn't like the same shit over and over. Like, right, that's what I like about science is like, oh, thank God, I'm not talking about fucking like Twitter or Trump or whatever. I can talk about fucking how leaf cutter
like
ants,
cool, like, dope facts. Like right now, there's farm. This crazy debate in science going on that is like political, where they're like, is it okay that we're named that, like, they're looking back at all the names of birds that they've given, and they're like, we named some birds after some known racists. Like, is that okay? And like, it's not, it's like, it's funny that it's like not okay. And it's also funny that this is happening in this sphere now. But there was like a quote by a guy who's like, I'll be honest, he was like the head of the DC chapter of birding. And he's like, look, I wasn't looking for this information. I was just trying to bird. You know what I'm saying? And
politicized birding, man.
Dude, like, I was just trying to bird, but I can't ignore, like, that, you know, a guy who, like, you know, displaced my great-grandfather during the, you know, the Trail of Tears or whatever. One of my favorite Orioles is named after him. And it was like yeah, you can't.
I got a great photo of the red-breasted Kevin Spacey. Yes.
Oh, man. Oh, dude, I've got bad news for you, dude.
I don't know if I'd post that.
My favorite bird, Mr. Dude. Kevin Spacey.
Oh no, man.
Fuck, dude, he did it, man. Yeah, that's fucking thrilling. Like, Matt, you or Zach, one of you said cool facts. That's another thing that rules about science, is that it's like facts. It's like everyone can just argue about Tenet or Succession or anything like that, but science has some facts. Yeah. You know, like some objective facts. Now you can have different opinions on those facts, but at least it's like one dash of objectivity in like a topic is like kind of enriching these days, like where everything seems to be. And arguably a lot of people are saying science is subjective and up for interpretation. So much, everything else can be up for interpretation. Everything can be a lie. At least for a large segment of the population, science is facts, or at least the search out of facts, and science has shown us some facts, but like that's even a controversial, like, or like that's well, even also, like a no, weird yeah.
well,
thing
so
to
we,
say.
We, yeah. So meeting all these scientists and stuff like that, the thing is they're like obsessed with facts. They're obsessed with everything. Like, is this true? Is this not true? Like they, but like to the most granular level, like that is what they've devoted their lives to, is to try to figure out if something is or is not true. And to the point also where like shit keeps being disproven and there's other theories and other things like this, but like all they care about is observing the world and trying to figure out what's true. And they're such crazy nerds about it. It's incredible. Like they want to know the truth.
It's also great that built into all of this is them being wrong and admitting it and moving on to the next thing. Like being wrong is part of the process of science. And like, and that is like, it's weird how also in today's society, nobody wants to be wrong. No one ever wants to admit that they are wrong.
Hey, I'm
no
one sorry.
Wants to, like one attack on science is just that scientists are wrong sometimes. And it's like, that's the attack on them. And it's like, yeah, but then they say we were wrong. We had it wrong. We retested it. And now this is our new theory or guess if we don't know it as a fact yet. And it's like, that's part of science, is like trial and error and figuring shit out. And yeah, a willingness to admit that something that they held dear for so long, for hundreds of years even, is actually not correct. And they need to reframe our thinking or change our minds on something is like, it's crazy. And they still butt up. Like, there are scientists that still experience frustration. Like, one of our scientists who we had for our moon episode, her big claim to fame is that she theorized that the moon is actually a few hundred million years older. That's right. Is that right, Kleiman? It's 100. Like, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not that much older, but it's like a few hundred million years older than we thought. And she had a lot, there was a lot of pushback from other scientists to her being like, what are you talking about? The moon is this old. You can't say that. And she's like, I don't know. Look at this. And then she had enough evidence that they're like, all right, maybe, I don't know. And it's like, that's part of it, is the push and the pull.
That what no one will say outside of, like, scientists will be like, we're not sure, we're looking. That's yeah. not yeah. something any layman says about anything anymore.
No, of course not.
Nobody said, everyone has an opinion on everything now. Like the internet allows us to kind of voice that or have a minimum light scraping of knowledge about everything. So we could say, I have an opinion on that. And so this rolls into what you guys were talking about earlier about like our disdain for expertise in modern society or whatever, or like that money is actually more of a factor than like time spent working in a field. Like this person's rich, so they're obviously got something right. Let's listen to them.
They must be an expert. Yeah.
Scientists will say, we don't know, we're looking into it, or we think it's most likely that this is the, you know, then they will say absolutely some things. Then they will say like, this is unknowable. And right. like, I think that like no one else will say that. Like, it feels like in conversation, you rarely hear, like you said, we rarely hear people say, I was wrong about that. So now my new thought is blank. The moon is actually 80 instead of 70. That's my new thought. Now that I looked into it, it's fine. In real life, everyone's like, no, the thing I posted 10 years ago is still my, like, through gritted teeth. Like, yeah, no, yeah. I still believe this exact fact. It's like, and if we don't
I never even said it. Yeah. I don't remember even saying that, what you're talking about. But I also, if I did, it was right, man.
At the time.
Like, what was it? The in the NBA playoffs, you know, like the Heat and Celtics were just going against each other, and the Celtics like were down three games, and the coach that everyone was lambasting and was going after is like, this guy's not ready for it, Coach Joe Mazzulla. At one point, they were asking him questions about like how the Heat were beating the Celtics, and his answer was just like, I don't know, we got to figure that out. And then everyone was like, weak, this guy's weak. And it was like, why are they, he's admitting they don't know. I was like, I don't know. I think you should feel fine to like play a basketball game, come to the microphone and be like, I need a little bit of time. Like,
I got to really buckle down. I got to get some X's and O's on my dry erase board at home. Sort this
shit out.
It literally
just happened. Right. I don't know what happened because it just happened.
I'm like, sorry. I'm still reeling. My throat hurts a lot from yelling for the last night. Yeah. So if you could just give me a second.
Weak. It's a weak coach right there. Admit he doesn't know.
And I think for some of us, for people like for a lot of. There's something appealing about meeting someone who's, or there's something interesting or enjoyable, or deemed respectful of someone who's dedicated their life to learning something. Like that.
It's amazing.
Like that's so that's fucking such amazing to me.
Crazy passion for it. Like all these scientists that we talked to, I mean, they were so passionate about it, they were down to like clown around with us to try to like get their like, you know, science out there. They were like, well, yeah, sure, let's do this. But the thing is they were all down because they all loved the thing they were doing. And from that love comes a joy to like joke about it and like make, you know, do fun stuff. And we also like the kind of fun that I think we had with them was the kind of fun that they like about just like imagining, you know, how fungus actually interacts with trees and like a weird, you know,
right.
You know,
we know
all these
that
metaphors.
They're in communication, but like, what if we hypothesized a little bit? Hypothesized
yes.
a little, yeah. Hypothesize. I just nosebleed. Oh fuck!
Oh my god!
Triple pun. We have to.
Smoke is
making the greatest pun. The greatest pun.
It's happening, folks. He's putting it together. Holy shit. Weed smoke's coming out of his ears.
God, there's just silence then as Matt and I, like, we figure out how to call an ambulance to come to your house and we're still podcasting.
He didn't say his address. I don't know where he lives.
Yeah, I don't know. I see him in the Zoom, though. I see him in the Zoom. He's passed out. I don't know what to do.
Wait, let's just get our plugs out real quick in case dude ends up using
yeah, I don't. He, I don't think he stopped recording, though, so this might come out. So check out High Science on Max. Okay, yeah, we're sure Gabus will be back. We think he's still breathing.
Good morning, high and mighty listeners. It's John Gabris here to talk to you about AG1. Yes, it's the morning time now. That's when I record my ads. I'm an up early boy, and I love my Athletic Greens. I take it literally every day. As a matter of fact, I just got back from camping where I brought a few of my travel packs and shook them up in my water bottle in the morning in order to get my day started right, because I wanted to start my day with 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients at the highest quality. They give me major benefits like gut and mood support, boosted energy, and even healthier looking skin, hair, and nails. Yeah, I didn't want to take pills first thing in the morning because it makes me a little nauseous. So jamming down my AG1 with a nice big glass of water, stir it in there, shake it up, however you do it. I personally, while camping, use the packet to kind of sniper it into the water bottle. You know, you bend the packet a certain way and it acts as its own funnel. Pour that in there and boom, I never have to miss a day. I just pour it into ice cold water and chugged it down right there on the beach while I was camping. And it was such a great way to start my day. Now, you know, I say the same thing all the time, but that first little baby step of a healthy choice, you know, then you skip putting sugar in your coffee. Then maybe you don't have a Danish for breakfast. And then maybe you have a salad for lunch. And then, holy shit, you're, you know, 3/4 of the way through the day making healthy choices the whole way. So do yourself a favor. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/mighty. That's athleticgreens.com/MIGHTY. Check it out. I'm here to tell you not all drugs are created equally. Okay, psilocybin, for example, when taken thoughtfully at sub-hallucinogenic levels, can sharpen your focus, hone your mental clarity, unleash your creativity, expand your mind, open your heart, and ease your anxiety. While you shouldn't experiment with those shrooms you got from your brother's sketchy friend, Schedule 35 takes a science-backed approach to microdosing shrooms. I'm sure you've heard a bunch of people talking about microdosing. Well, Schedule 35 can help you by precisely measuring out every dose, verifying the age of every one of their customers. They ship discreetly, and better yet, they give you the microdosing regimen that allows you to enjoy the benefits of psilocybin without any of the hallucinogenic effects. Head over to schedule35.co and use code MIGHTY, MIGHTY, for 15% off. That's 15% off at Schedule 35, schedule35.co, and use code MIGHTY. Studies have shown that psilocybin works by creating new neural networks in the brain, which will help boost focus, creativity, mood enhancement, and fight addiction. Schedule 35 ships all across Canada and US and is the most notable brand currently in the space. So that's 15% off with code MIGHTY at schedule35.co. Early on in a post-college life, one of my best friends from college, I moved in with him and I met a bunch of his friends. And he always had a friend named Mike the Monkey Man. And I'm like, oh, why is Mike called the Monkey Man? It's like, oh, he's got like a doctorate in monkey science. Like, and it was just one of those guys where no one really knew what he did because he was a scientist and everyone else was like a cop or like a copywriter or something. You know, everyone else had Lego man jobs, but he had like some weird science job that no one understood. And then one day when I first meet the guy, he's now my friend, I was like, hey, Dr. Monkey Man, what do you study? And he's like, well, you know, I work in a lab and I'm eventually going to teach. But he's like, my main focus, my thesis is on colorblindness in rhesus monkeys. And I go, I couldn't believe that. I thought it would be crazy enough that someone studied monkeys. As like there, you know what I mean? I'm like, that's nuts. This guy's getting a doctorate in monkey. And it's like, and specifically my project where I was living in the jungles of South America for months at a time was studying colorblindness in monkey. And like learning something about how their genetics work via this test that they can run to determine if a monkey is colorblind or not, or whatever they do. And I was like, I can't believe. And then that's one of those things that like lifts you up when you hear like, oh, maybe people are doing this in every oh my God, is there someone out there who's like super deep on oysters right now? That's thrilling. And there is.
And you don't even like, you don't even know what that's the other thing. They ask questions, they find the truth, but the truth is usually like, we need to know more. We have to go deeper. We have to get to like an even smaller thing. Like we thought we knew this thing, like one of the most mind-blowing facts that we have in our show was that sharks invented teeth basically, that like teeth, which we like associate with sharks, the very first like proto sharks were actually the first living things to evolve teeth. Like that's what they did to get ahead, was they came up with teeth and it evolved from their skin. So you know how shark skin is kind of rough? Because they have these things called denticles on their backs, which if you like get like a microscope and look really close, they look like teeth.
Well, like a scale.
Look like teeth. And I always assumed like, oh, they're like teeth moved to be on their skin. So they were rough, but it was the opposite. The skin, the scales, their teeth scales moved into their mouth and then grew to become teeth. And then they started munching on shit. So they like came up with that. And then when we were researching this, there are all these people who specifically study, like all the like competing theories about this were about the most like arcane elements of teeth. And so they were actually all basically like prehistoric shark dentists, was like what they were really studying, was like how teeth work on sharks that no longer exist. And they were all experts in like, mouths that don't exist, like just the most specific shit. Where like, even I learned that fact and we were like, this is so sick. But then going into it, I was like, oh my God, people are like debating skin, like the most arcane elements about a shark's mouth and how it would develop that you could never even like imagine.
You can get 10 scientists together, 10 shark scientists together, and all 10 of them study something different about sharks that's even more granular than you can imagine.
Yes.
You can get 30 shark scientists together, and there might be some overlap on studies, but they might have opposing ideas. Yes. And that's just fucking thrilling that it's like,
I study shark mouths, but he studies shark's teeth. So I this guy studies shark tongues. So yeah. No, I don't have any clue what this guy is.
I would talk to him. He's more of a tail guy. Yeah. I'm a dorsal. I did 12 credits of tail, but
right,
sure. I put 24 in dorsal fin, you know, so I only have like a minor in tail. Like,
and I honestly hate their thoughts about tails, so I wouldn't even listen to them.
Yeah,
so
like, yeah.
They just another tail person.
They said the tail used to be teeth. I think the teeth used to be a tail.
That's bullshit. The tail clearly used to be hands. We'll move on,
dude. And sometimes, and I'm a fan of the paranormal. I'm a fan of like extraterrestrial shit. When the cryptid stuff and the alien stuff is like backed down just enough, so it's one degree away from science. I'm like, here's something I heard recently that like I can't stop thinking about, and I don't know if it's pure science or if it's a little bunky, but the reason our fingers prune up when we're wet is to give us better grip underwater on rocks and stuff, and it's from when we were like water mammals. Like in the evolutionary chain, it's from when we were in the sea. And it was like, I guess people call it like the water ape theory, I think. And it's like, there was like, and so, and you're like, that's crazy. But there isn't really like a biological reason why they would prune up in water. Like that doesn't make that much sense. Like, so, and that shit just like got me. And then I'm like, in my head, that's science. And then I'm like, or am what I'm hearing is like ancient aliens? Like, am I? And like, and
it's a fine line.
A lot of stolen science valor from these guys, from the Graham Hancocks of the world and shit that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love them. I 100%. Love to listen to them. I love to hear that.
100%.
But they always do the one thing where they're like, we do know that shark teeth come from their skin. So that means, and then it's like, nope, the next thing you say that means is like,
it never,
who gave them that skin? Who gave them the idea to have skin? Right. It must have been another being that already had skin.
And that's always the answer is always like, wait, it's like they had pyramids here and Chichen Itza looked like this. Was that the aliens? Yes, it's like, let's just ask five more questions before we ask if it's the aliens. It's like,
how else would they have known how to make a pyramid? Well, I don't know. There's only so many shapes that you can like build shit into.
Yeah, no. But the aliens who probably arrived on like a pyramid shaped saucer, you know, because why not? They must have just parked one and then kind of inspired them with that, you know? That's actually, it's funny you bring this up because we have an episode, our Egypt episode, is kind of like examining and doing a takedown of the ancient aliens type of logic and thoughts to those things. Because their whole thing is like, well, the main the main thing that sucks about that Ancient Aliens thinking is that it kind of like makes Egyptians to come out a little dumber, where it's like they couldn't figure the shit out themselves. They needed the help of aliens. Yeah, that's
like
the flip side.
And like the truth, like Zach and I mean, like I loved Ancient Aliens.
Yeah,
like we're like,
these are people who we like
about
this shit. Totally. Yeah, we like to think
about
this stuff.
But also it's like, well, wait, the Egyptians were smart, man. They didn't need you to tell them about triangles. Like they could fucking figure out triangles.
There's some light. It feels a little racist, a little colonial when like an old white British guy is like, in South America and in Egypt, they needed aliens to tell them how to do things. And it's like, okay, pal. Sorry.
It was actually an old Scandinavian guy who first came up with all of this.
And he's
and it
legit
makes,
racist, yes.
Yeah.
It tracks. It was like, oh, no. When you read some of his books from the 70s, you're like, Jesus, this is
it's like
some bad stuff.
Do
but
not
the,
name a bird after this fucking guy.
Yeah, do not name a bird after Eric Von Daniken. Don't do it.
God, the name is even villainous. Yes, no, yeah.
I know. And he's still like an executive producer of Ancient Aliens. He's like he traveled the road, man. It's Ancient Alien stuff. We like it if it gets you to think about things, you know, the next step. It's fun to think about crazy shit, and then it's also fun to get info that maybe is connect, like someone gave to you because they connected it to some crazy shit, but now you're learning some cool other info. Like, I love that stuff. So it's like, I'm not fully against people having ideas and wondering if aliens ever came here in the past or did that stuff. I love that shit. It's just like, it was just fun to go back and like look at all of the reasons that they think aliens did visit the Egyptians, and then there were explanations for like each one of them in real life as to how the Egyptians actually came up with this stuff. And it was like, it was pretty cut and dry, where it was like the pyramids, you know, how they make these perfect rocks. And then it's like, well, if you look at like their 40 previous pyramids, they started shitty and then they got better and better. Like they clearly like got way better at making pyramids over time. And it was like, oh, okay, all right, that's a fair one.
They had insane amount of labor. They had an insane amount of free, cheap labor, you know, like that almost explains anything away. Like, you know what I mean? Well, it's almost like that.
One of my favorite things to learn about that when they were building the pyramids too is that they also had teams. They would and they know this from the graffiti written on these around pyramids and all that kind of thing, is that they would have worker teams, right? And they would be teams that had team names, and to get them to work better, they would do kind of competition things that we see at the office, where it's like, hey, can Team Kano beat these guys, like lift more rocks today than team like Adronis over there?
They get an Let's extra serving of blank if you
exactly. Oh, and yeah. They were doing a lot of the kind of middle managing shit that we see today when they were building the pyramid.
Well, and also they were blowing off steam the oldest stash of like records that we have from Egypt was like basically a pile of garbage that we found, like a dump, and it was like chock full of porn. It's just got tons of Egyptian pornography. So these dudes were like raging, building pyramids, like competing with each other in the daytime, and then going back to their like little like tents and shit and just like jerking off to like very explicit hieroglyphs.
And the porn has these drawings of this like blue lotus flower. And that was like, and they use that flower in wines and other things to get a little fucked up. It was like
it was some sort of drug.
Yeah. And it was, so you see this porn with also everyone's like chilling with blue lotus flowers above their heads. And you're like, wow, they're saying these guys got fucked up and fucked. But
getting
that's pretty
high,
cool.
Having sex, you're building pyramids. It's the best time to be alive.
And some motherfucker's going to tell you aliens took
you? Yeah, right.
Sand?
Aliens? Yeah.
I didn't crank my hog in the sand for 900 days in a row to be fucking.
Aliens showed up. They're like, take that flower, take your dick, shove it in there. Like,
right. Put it in the pee hole. Believe me, it's going to feel weird at first.
Yeah, what alien
works.
Came down here to teach people it feels better to jerk
how
off of your hog?
How do we know how to have sex?
Aliens taught us to fuck. Not basic mechanics of like,
so it's a coincidence that they fucked in ancient Maya and ancient Egypt? Come on, dude.
Yeah, wait, there was fucking in South America and in Africa?
I mean, of course, white Europeans
time.
Could fuck, and they fucked very well, but these guys?
Yeah, aliens taught us all how to fuck. That's, you know, like, that's why, like, this way actually makes more sense, and it's like, the alien position, like, showing hieroglyphs. alien with like a fucking dog head pumping on some
Yeah, man. Beard. And aliens, they were hung, dude. They were fucking packing those aliens. So, you know, that's why we started drawing people with bigger and bigger dicks, because the aliens first did it.
Yeah, it's a real arms race. The aliens kind of ruined pornography by making everyone's hog yeah, so
they
big.
They started huge. What's the problem?
That's the shit. That's where science can fucking really be electric right now, is because, like, just be like, okay, so yeah, there's this conspiracy about blank. Let's talk about the science of it. Like, that would be, if high science doesn't work, like, you can get, we eventually fucking keep pivoting to whatever, like, science the world needs in that moment. Right, it's yeah, like, med beds aren't real. Like, we're gonna die from COVID. Like, you know, like, shit like that. Like, we gotta start just spinning to be like, anti-right-wing science. Like, it's like, just no, please don't let your kids get the polio vaccine. Like, you let them do that, please. Oh, the talking polio vaccine, let's take a rip from it. Like save, you guys are forced to, like, become jesters to save the world. Like, every, you gotta dust off your bucket.
It's like, it's kind of like fentanyl, right, guys? It's fentanyl for your kids. Polio vaccine.
Yay, fun, let's save. It feels so crazy right now to be like, science is weird, for science to be like an up in the air thing. It felt like, what happened to us all? Everyone was a kid once, like, science is cool. What do we become so jaded, so like disinterested in like the world that like,
I think it's that like more and more science was telling us that we are running our society in an incorrect way for us to continue to survive. And like, I think as soon as they started warning us about things like climate change and shit like that, people were like, that's when I feel like there was really doubt introduced about scientists and science. And like, it was like, no, these guys don't know what they're talking about. Don't worry about it. Like, we can't do that. That's silly. Like, humans affecting the whole Earth's atmosphere? No way. And like, as soon as it just became more and more, both, I think people just started attributing scientists as just being kind of like negative Nancys. And then like, and just because all they do is just tell us that we're screwing up the world.
Smoking's
the world's
bad.
End.
Drinking's bad. Cars are bad. Okay. Then how come my dad drank, smoked, and drove and died at 53? Okay.
Yeah,
how
exactly.
That's not science. You touched on something there. Like, truly, it's not until the science started saying, like, guys, I think we might be doing some stuff wrong, and people were already far. Now, we could also attribute, in like kind of what you're talking about, Zach, in more recent times, a huge financial motivation to not believe scientists. So fossil fuel industries pumping that fucking, you know, get throwing any fuel on the fire of like, don't believe scientists that they can, because it affects their bottom line. Truly coming out with like the, hey, don't litter. Hey, reduce your carbon footprint. Hey, you should recycle. Like, all that shit, putting it on the consumer.
Right.
All that like climate change. Oh, okay. Then if it's so hot out, how come it snows or whatever? Like, the fucking, all the dumb questions people ask. Like, that was also, that system was a little juiced, that was a little nudged by fucking true dark money behind it. And we know that will that's going to happen again. Like, we're trying, yes. All signs point to cars being bad for the world, like, both in just in the idea of oil, and then also cars themselves killing way more people than they should.
Oh, but you're gonna let some nerd tell you not to drive? That nerd probably doesn't even know how to drive, man. He wants a bicycle. You're gonna listen to that fucking joker?
Yeah, it's independent, like, freedom, like, independence butts up against this a little bit, and that's like something that we like built our entire country on, in an accidentally set ourselves off to be like, this is gonna be hard when we eventually have, you know, a team made up of all stars. Like, we're not going to want to pass the ball ever here. And like, I feel like we've gotten to this point now where everyone who was raised on a like individual excellence kind of thing is like, we're like, ooh, we need to zoom out and think about community and collective ASAP again. We moved away from that pretty fucking hard. And I think science, any science that points us back into a way of like, Guys, believe it or not, I don't think just buying cooler electric cars is going to save the world. Guys, believe it or not, I don't think recycling's working the way we thought it was.
Oh, yeah. God, come on, man. I'm just trying to enjoy my day. Like, next you're going to tell me, like, not to buy, you know, like, Starbucks a few times a day or something like
that. Right. What's crazy to me is, like, the QAnon, like, that kind of stuff, the amount of, like, work that a lot of those people do, like, digging through documents and trying to disprove. Like, I think a lot of people did actually learn a lot of, like, bio trying to disprove COVID and, like, you know, prove that the vaccines were, like, you know, it's, like, because a lot of their stuff, they, like, reference, like, mRNA, you know, they understand mRNA, they understand, like, peptides, they understand, like, all these things, but then right at the very end, they're like, nah, that means it's gonna make your fucking uterus into a spike protein, and you're gonna, like, shit out fucking corona vex, like, giant corona orbs, and it's like, oh, you're so close, but it's, like, the amount of time that a lot of these people got sucked into these rabbit holes, they may as well have gotten a master's, they may as well have, like, enrolled and read all the fucking books and really learned about it, and honestly, I would encourage people, if you really are going to throw away your life and all of your friends and your job believing in this stuff, then you might as well enroll in a master's program and really learn this shit, because, like, that's what those people are doing. They're just, like, obsessing over one specific thing and trying to disprove everybody who's been saying shit before. If you're that contrarian and that smart and that problem solving, go become a scientist yourself. Like, science is filled with, like, asshole contrarians just like you. Like, literally, that's who they all are. And, like, they just, like, learned and knew the truth rather than are just, like, guessing on 4chan.
Yeah, and there's this weird thing of, like, if you just, because we all have the internet, people could just say, like, I've done the research.
Yeah, right,
like,
I've done the
such
research.
An annoying phrase.
I've done the research.
I've done the research, and it's like,
you need to
no,
do
but
the
thing is, like, at universities, everything is, like, peer-reviewed.
Yes.
So, like, you have to turn to 8 other people who have also done the research and go, does my research look good? And the people can pick it apart, you know?
Right.
And if you don't do that on your YouTube show, what you're doing is no longer science. Like, if you're not, like, running it through a test to determine, you maybe have a hypothesis, but right, if you're not testing it and learning it, then you are, like, not doing science. But people will just fucking believe that person. And I don't know when it happened. When did, like, expertise become corny and, like, it's like, actually, the suaver the communicator, the better, rather than, like, the better, the more truthful the info fell and the suaver the communicator rose. And yeah, then I think a third factor that is, like, hearing what you want to hear. Like, yeah, if someone is saying what you want to hear, that's who you adhere to, weirdly enough. And you'll hear from people on the right say that shit about, you know, it's like, well, you just listen to the echo chamber. I'm like, well, the echo chamber does feature some scientists, like, and some economists, like, economists.
Economicists, yeah.
And a couple of economicists. We got an alchemist and two phrenologists. Yeah.
I mean, it's tough when it also goes back to just, like, education itself, like, going to college, getting a master's, that's already going down the wrong path for a lot of these people that you guys are even talking
about. College education is a scam. You got to be an idiot to go to college. It's so expensive. And it's
to,
like,
be fair,
it is very expensive, and that's a fucking, yes, but that's the problem, not, like, wanting to get a fucking education.
Right, well, also master's programs not being rewarded in the job market either. Sure. Like where it's like, if you pump out a bunch of MBAs or pump out a bunch of people who have business majors or you know, whatever, like, that world, we're never going to get to anyone who's like, I'm studying astronomy. Like, we're not going to get people to study astronomy if it's, like, becoming like Hollywood, where it's only for, like, the sons, for the children of academics or the children of wealthy people,
right,
where you can go to school for 8 years. Now, people, like, if you go to school for 8 years, you come out and you are pinned, like, your only option is, like, join the military. It's like, a doctorate in any science right now is like, they're struggling for work. Like, when that should be who's being rewarded the most, like, in our society, like, oh, you studied this really hard, we will find a place because we think this could help the world. We will find money for you. Anything that puts the light back on, like, let's get behind some science. Like, so, like, you guys doing this show, anything that's like a fun podcast about science, like, anything that points it in that direction, where it's like, if a 10-year-old goes like, I actually am going to become a marine biologist, and it doesn't get kicked out of them by their age. Like, everyone you know wanted to be a marine. Our generation, like, everyone wanted to be a marine biologist because of Shamu and Pigou and, like, the mysteries of the deep and 20,000 Leagues. All this stuff made you want to be one. And then, like, life just kicked you in the teeth until you're like, I need a job that will, I need to study something that will get me a job. Because if I don't have
I was studying to be a marine biologist, actually, and then he'd stop doing that to do comedy. So he did that's kind of a double.
It's out of the frying pan into the fire real situation there. It's like, well, I figured out a way to be seek employment, make it even more difficult on myself.
Yeah, this is too easy, this whole marine biology, because there's whole oceans, you know?
It's objective. Let me move to the world of subjectivity and put my opinions in Zaslav's hands or whatever. You know, like I hope you like me, bud, stranger. You know, like in science, it's like proven fact. In art, you're like, do you like this script? Team of weirdos I've never really interacted with? And they're like, no.
Don't you think it's fun what I'm saying?
I've been doing comedy for 20 years. You've worked at this desk job for 3. Do I deserve to get health insurance this year? Like, that's the entire fucking industry.
Yeah, so that's what I chose.
Well, I'm getting my degree in marine biology now. This conversation, 3 times during it, I did hit a joint in the beginning there. 3 times during this, I went, how hard would it be to get if I started studying science? Like, if I but what does that get me if I'm like, I now have a master's in marine biology from Pepperdine and I'm like, I'm 50. Like, how do I help the world now?
I don't know. You could like run a boat, you know,
consult on Avatar,
whale watching. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh man, that would be the best, just to kind of get a consulting gig for a new Avatar.
Get back into Hollywood, like, immediately. I studied 8 years, got a science degree, and I could finally start getting some jobs in Hollywood.
Yeah, I tried so hard to get my script in. You know, 4 years of marine biology, I'm in with Jimmy Cameron like that. Like, he's like, yeah, come on board.
You know, our on-set expert's pretty funny. Why don't we throw him in the movie? What do you guys think?
Yes, my big break. Well, I checked his resume. He hosted a game show in 2006.
I thought he was an unknown marine biologist. But no, he's a biased comedian. Get him the fuck out of here.
Yeah. I was going to crack a joke during my thesis.
Oh, man. When you said that earlier, when you were talking about how we all need to do scientists had to go through peer-reviewed stuff and get things like that, that triggered something in me in that, like, I really want to do right by science. But when we were writing the show, it was so frustrating when we would have an idea to do something and then we would be told that, like, there's only one source on it or, like, they're not sure, and then we wouldn't do it.
Oh, man.
Which was, like, to keep our standards up, but it's frustrating as hell. So
dude,
I totally understand.
Dude, we had this heartbreaker, John. We had this – it's our Egypt episode, which does start off still with a massive Egyptian god jerking off. That's how we start off the episode, which is good. But we had – because there is this fact that goes around all the time that Egyptians – like, there would be some fertility festival – where Egyptians would all line up along the Nile River and jerk off into the Nile. And it was like a huge, like, yearly festival to, like, help them, like, fertilize the lands and things like this. And you see this, like, all the time.
The pharaoh comes out. Yes. The pharaoh supposedly came out. And as everyone's jerking in the river, like, they part ways. And then the pharaoh comes into the water and jerks off into the water. And so everybody's just jerking off into the water to bring in, you know, the good growth of spring. Like, it's like a
And there's
a
all these,
tribute.
Like, today I learns on Reddit. This is, like, a constant one that pops up. And we had, like, storyboarded how to, like, depict this in a way that we could show on TV, like all these dudes from behind.
We're standing there and we're looking around and we just are surrounded by men jerking off into a river and we're like, what do we do? Do we start? Do we join in? I don't know.
And then our fucking researcher, she was like, guys, I traced the sources on this and it's bunk. There's nothing. There's no, if you like trace all the citations and all the trivia that you find online about it, it all points to some book, but then if you read the book, it's nowhere in the book. It's like totally made up.
Oh, yeah. Man. And it sounds so real. And then,
no,
it makes sense and it's beautiful. It sounds real. And like an
why
incredible
isn't our
situation.
Society like that? Like, we should be doing that.
I feel like we're only a few steps away from if you told us, like, the way to solve the California drought is if we all jerked off into the river. Like, the I LA mean, like, river. We're not too far away from that actually having been some sort of thought process.
Well,
thing,
let's test it. Let's get as many people as possible who are down to do it, and let's do it and just see what happens.
We don't jerk off into enough things as it is already. Yeah, like, we really need to explore.
We should
that.
Be testing that constantly. We,
you never know.
Allow me
happen.
To start my single-handed thesis.
Oh no, he's dying again.
Oh fuck! Call the police. Wait. I did text you guys my address in case I do have
okay,
another
good, thank you.
Pun-based
thank you.
Aneurysm.
Oh,
good. That's really funny. That's really funny because. My wife just texted me, shush. So that's because like that's where your comedy brain your comedy brain butts up right with like the
yes.
science brain where you're like if you're like let's just do it, it's funny.
It's just so funny.
Who
it's cares? Like why can't we do that?
They're all
like,
dead.
It's
nobody's gonna care.
Such a funny whoever made up that fact that then became a thought of as fact. That's hilarious that they did that. Why can't we just celebrate that idea?
Let's teach the debate, you know? Let's teach the debate.
Teach the debate.
And I feel like the modern version of that is, like, that's been debunked. And someone would say, like, but what if it was true?
Right.
And
but,
it's like,
you know,
that's
I
terrible.
I bet aliens kind of told them to do that in the first probably. Place.
Like
know?
This, with a little spit, would you know? Pharaoh?
The aliens
are
like
taught
communicating.
Us how to spit, actually. We couldn't think of the idea to spit until aliens told us.
Yeah, it's just so dry on my hand.
You're spit. You're standing knee deep in a river if you can find moisture anywhere.
Huh? Where? And then the aliens are like, and here is the shadoof for you as well.
Oh, yeah. Shadoofs are this Egyptian machine that they use to pull water out of the Nile. It's like, it's a cool, an efficient way of pulling water out of the Nile.
It's a cool name, too.
Yeah, the shadoof.
It sounds like the comic book word, the onomatopoeia of pulling the water out.
Yeah.
Shadoof.
Yeah, like, wow, you're so right. Yeah.
Maybe, honestly, that might have been why it was called that. Was there, like, it makes this shadoof sound.
We have to set up the shadoof, my son. Why do they call it that, Papa? You'll see. Well,
have you tried it? Shadoof. Oh, I understand, Papa.
Thank you, Papa. Can I jerk off now? Yes, son.
into the water, though.
You know.
Into the waters that feed our fields.
Keep it off the shadoof.
Yeah, shadoof must be clean.
Papa, can I... Yeah, of course you can.
How we do it? Yes, very good.
But that makes me so happy that your fucking comedy computer bong that you smoke topics out of show... is like got the integrity to be like, well, we can't if without enough sources, we can't have the jerk off train.
Yeah,
it's like
an inch of our lives, dude.
Like
we took
well,
this
we,
shit.
More
we
than
explored.
Almost any other, more than like 95 to 97% of content out there. You guys have a higher the show High Science, which features you two boners smoking out of a computer bong. Voiced by Paul Bettany, has a higher level of integrity than 97% of content out there. That's
I mean,
fucking
you, yeah.
crazy.
In the Egypt episode, we also have this photo, or we use it's a hieroglyphic scroll. It's from like one version of the Book of the Dead, and it was like it's two gods who have giant erections. Okay, giant erections. And it's called ithyphallic imagery is what it, is the scientific name for it. And we actually go into it because we want to know why there are so many gods with huge dicks in Egyptian lore. And it's because it actually is a sign of like the earth remaking itself and growth. Like when there's a god who's sucking his own dick, and that is a sign of regrowth. Like the earth is like continuously rebuilding. And we really want to use this image and talk about it in the show because it's like such a good example of it. But the British Museum owns the actual scroll itself. And when we wanted to use the image, we came up against like, you know, use rights or whatever. And it ended up going so far that we had to send the British Museum the clip of the show where we're talking about these giant dicks. And then our Egyptian expert is explaining it to us. And we were like, oh man, this really, we got to be getting this right if the British Museum is going to let us use this image. And then they were like, yeah, sure, go for it. Yeah, that works.
That's had to get reviewed by the, like, premier Egyptologists in Britain.
That's so awesome. Yeah. The British Museum was like, and also high science is now ours. I know you guys created this in your own culture over there, but we're gonna play it here for our people. Like, oh,
on British Museum Plus, our new stream.
Not even BBC. They're like, British Museum Plus, BM Plus.
I'm about to give another drop another BM Plus this morning. Any more of these cold brews? I'll be BM Plus and everyone.
BM Plus.
Before I send you guys out of here, before we got, do you guys have any science entertainment that you're consuming that you could throw out as a reco for both me and the listeners, whether it's blogs, podcasts, shows, anything that, like, or even old shit that you're like, revisit this. It's like that stuff still works or whatever.
We were shitting on it before, but Nova truly is incredible. Nova is unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, but almost all of our episodes, there's like a Nova that like clearly inspired it. There's this one dude, we did this, our like Neanderthal episode, we were like, we wanted to so badly do this thing where it was like us, like with basically like sort of poorly CGI'd versions of like ancient humans, like, and like us, you know, living amongst them sort of. And we sort of did that. Like we do, it's like kind of like a family reunion of all of like the hominids that like came before us. Cause there was a time on Earth when six different humans all lived on Earth at the same time, which is like
it's like, the Neanderthals were one, like, that's fucking rad.
Which is crazy. Homo sapiens, Neanderthals, Homo erectus, Homo floresiensis, Homo
Dionysius?
Dionysians. No, not the Dionysians.
No, wait, no, that's a whole other species. That's a whole dinosaur. Other type of people.
Yeah. There's...
Oh, gosh. It's been too long since we made that episode.
Yeah, I know. Yes. But so we wanted to do this thing where it was like us and them poorly CGI'd. And there is like a Nova where it's like Richard Attenborough with like a poorly CGI'd like mammoth. Like, and he's like standing next to it. And like, it's like exactly what we like wanted, like what we were like envisioning and what we kind of do in the show, but like, it's there. And then there's like a Nova, like our moon episode is kind of based on the Nova where they like go to, there's a great Nova about finding water on the moon that we kind of like condense down. So I don't know, whatever. Nova does fucking rock. You know what, dude, we should plug John, dude, Zach. All of our like really epic visuals in the show were done by this guy that I want, another executive producer on the show, who we like, he's like the magic behind our show. He's this YouTuber called Melody Sheep, and he makes these like incredible, like, he basically like self-taught himself how to do like 3D graphics and like incredible 3D graphics, but he makes these like documentaries about space. He has one on how the moon forms, which we kind of like ripped off for our episode too, but he has one on like...
He's also an incredible musician, so he scores the whole thing himself. It's truly seeing somebody create an incredible thing just from their brain, where it is like all this CGI that he's made himself, he scored it himself, he writes it himself, and it is just like unbelievably thoughtful explorations into, it's not sci-fi because it's like science worlds that scientists theorize might actually exist somewhere, or
a tour of the planets, of exoplanets and other solar systems and galaxies that we've observed, you know, and we think we know, you know, this is the, you know, like the one where like it rains diamonds and shit, so he'll like make the planet where it rains diamonds and show you what it might look like. Oh. Like shit like that, like now, incredible shit.
We didn't say it once in these two descriptions of both Nova and Melody Sheep, but that's fucking, for the stoners who are listening, this, that is like, that is right in the wheelhouse, just like 100%. Cool visuals, trippy music, the diamond raining diamonds on a planet, you know. A guy standing next to a CGI woolly mammoth. This is the kind of shit that like weed was invented for. And like, like, let's push back a little bit into like the, like, let's learn about the world like via weed too. Like, I'm like, so you, that alone is exciting to hear about this guy, Melody Sheep, like your
John
boy,
Boswell.
Your boy, John Boswell. It's great to hear about some, like, when I found out about your show, I was thrilled hearing about like the fact that that exists, that some kid on YouTube is going to, you know, take a resin hit and watch that, or like it's going to get served to them because they watch some other trippy thing. That makes me very happy that that's out there in the rotation of bullshit we're forcing kids to watch via an algorithm.
It's good YouTube. It's like, this is what YouTube is. This is the best that you like. That this is why YouTube, we all were impressed by YouTube when it first came out, was because shit like this could exist. And it's so good. All of the comments, it's the most incredible comment world I've ever seen. Because usually when you see a YouTube video with comments, you know, there's a lot of just like jerk off comments and then bullshit comments and shit in other languages. And all of the comments in John's Melody Sheet videos are just like, thank you for making this. I can't believe you made this for us.
Yes, you like, are why I'm alive. Like you
are incredible. Thank you. And it's just like everyone's grateful that this person is making this free, incredible sci-fi content. And
that's fucking awesome. And now where can people, enough about other people's shit. Where can people see your shit that you guys, besides High Science, Discovery Plus.
Yeah, Discovery. Well, it's on Max.
High Science, on Max.
On Max.
Yeah,
on
so
Max.
It's on Max. Yeah, High Science. And I guess it's technically called Funny or Die is High Science. If you like, we made it with Funny or Die. It. And they wouldn't pay for the lawsuit for like, if, because the name High Science had been like used sometimes by like YouTube videos or like other things, whatever it was, it cost a little bit more in the insurance to make it High Science. So we're Funny or Die is High Science. Funny or Die was the production company to do, which is like fine, I guess.
Whatever, but, man. As I've been saying since a year ago when 101 Places came out, it's like, hey, get it on getting on air is the fact that you can find it and it exists is the victory. Like, and it's previously thought of as permanent. Now it's who knows, but like the fact that it's out there now, get on it, check it out on Max, people. Anything else, you guys, your socials will be tagged with in a post and in the show notes, but anything else you guys want to plug before you get out of here?
I think you should check out Matt's Audible show that came out called Bloodweed.
Yeah, I have another stoner adjacent. We just got written up in High Times. It's called Bloodweed, and it's like a narrative show about like it's based on a real kind of like a real weed company. It's basically kind of like a new like weed tech startup that gets basically like the Russian mob comes in and kidnaps their CEO. The CEO is played by Haley Joel Osment. We have like Maria Bakalova in it. Zach Cherry's in it. Aaron Jackson's in it.
Oh,
like
hell
a bunch
yeah.
of our Lennon Parham's in it. We have like an amazing cast. But it like also came out on 420 of this year because they like held it for 420. So I had both this.
So you had two huge debuts on 420. Yes, you're like trying to tell your family like, hey, I'm like things are happening for me and it's all weed based and happening on April 20th. Yeah. Like, wow, thanks, Matt. Cool. I guess I feel bad that I yelled at you for smoking weed 30 years ago.
Thank you.
Yeah, you say April 20th for the people that you're not sure if they're going to be cool with the fact that it's 420.
Right.
You're like, it's coming out April 20th. And then the people who know are like, oh, nice.
Oh, sick. Nice I get it, man. Sense. Bloodweed and High Science. Oh, see you there. That's fucking awesome. Check that out. Check out High Science on Max. If you're going to Max, check out 101 Places to Party Before You Die after you watch High Science.
Exactly. You really should. They're a great pairing, truly. I really think they're
exploring
pairing.
The mind, you're exploring, you know, the world.
Yeah, see some culture, see some mushroom communication under. It's funny, we'll get a whole nother time, but like I tripped on mushrooms at a beach house once and my entire trip was an underworld community of like little like gnomes and anthropomorphic moles and stuff that were all like living underneath there in like a children's book way. But then I was like, this is not the first trip. Like people have like this imagery all the time and mushrooms, they are underground I'm eating this thing from underground. And then you find out like they have a weird ability to communicate underground. And I'm like, did I tap into that by accident? Like,
that's what the fungus is doing, dude. The fungus was letting you know that it was there, dude. Like the fungal network that connects trees. I didn't know, like truffles, you know, when you like eat a truffle, that is the underground network. That's like the fruit, the like fruiting body of the like underground network under trees that like help transmit nutrients. Like their version of an apple is a truffle and you like pluck it. And that's like a gift from them to us too.
Oh fuck! They're like, don't kill up all our roots. We'll give you the most expensive thing. We'll keep a dozen of the worst LA restaurants in tons of money.
Just let us be,
and we'll keep pigs in work. Trust us, take us. We'll get keep pigs busy.
Pigs
we won't
and
eat
beagles.
Them so much.
Yeah.
Dudes. Well, today we happen to be recording this on Tuesday, May 30th. No idea when this episode comes out, but I'll tell you what I'm doing after this. I'm getting high and I'm going to watch some High Science and some I Think You Should Leave season 3, which premieres today as well.
Hell yeah.
John, thank you so much for having us, man. This was a blast.
This was thank you, rad, man. Congrats.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow, body.
Someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
There's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room in.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!